I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petrigello. Welcome to British Christmas hell.
Yay! Merry Christmas, everyone. Wow. If you celebrate Christmas,
holy hell.
We decided to celebrate this, hardcore this year.
This movie will make you not want to celebrate Christmas.
Or anything.
Or anything else in your entire life.
I don't want to have any more feelings.
Wow.
I don't want to have any relationships with people of any magnitude.
I don't want, and I have to tell everybody right away, I brought with me a bag of marshmallows.
No, why?
Because this movie is going to make me have a stroke. And if something comes up where I'm just going to rant and rave and I know veins are going to pop and I'm just going to stuff like four marshmallows in my mouth so I know I can't talk. Okay. And that way I'll just be all, and that'll be the end of it for when I'll shut myself up and I'll keep myself from dying.
Okay.
So these marshmallows are going to save my life tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Jet Puffed Marshmallows.
Jet Puffed Marshmallows and driving me insane.
Okay. If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back. Thanks for being here with us to watch and relive these tales and painful, especially painful this week and excruciating details. Thank you.
And people love this movie. That's the other thing. That's the thing. People love this movie.
Thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Thank you for being you.
Yes, thank you for everything.
We are on Patreon. We do bonus episodes on Patreon every other week or at least twice a month. And it's patreon.com/YouGotHighGold. We talk 90 Day Fiancé.
How do you spell that?
Just give me a minute. We talk 90 Day Fiancé. We talk I Love a Mama's Boy. You know,
we make our own games.
We make our own games here. We play Plotsy. We play Make Your Own Rom-Com. It's super fun. And that is at patreon.com/YouGotHighGold. YouGotHeigld.
Our Patreon is fun.
Our Patreon is fun, goddammit.
It's very fun.
Last week, we discussed the TLC show I Love a Mama's Boy. And next week, we're going to play Make Your Own Rom-Com, the holiday edition.
Holiday edition. Your Own Christmas or Holiday Rom-Com.
Yeah, I made a fucking board game.
Yeah, it's okay?
I spent a lot of time laminating shit.
So she laminated.
I made a dice.
Tons of things.
You know, so I put Mod Podge on a fucking
dice.
It's
disturbing.
Like,
it's
leave
disturbing.
Me alone. I'm not type A. It's
a
fine.
Serial killer would do this, so you should really do it. You should listen
serial
to it.
Serial killers
fun.
Wouldn't make a game.
Not a game, but it's that level of
anyway.
I like it.
The last time that we convened, we watched Legally Blonde. Week, we watched the movie Love Actually.
Making me long for Legally Blonde. Blonde somehow.
And next week we will watch Twilight New Moon.
What is going on lately?
A reminder, everyone, we are doing 3 weeks on and 1 week off, and we will be back here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We're on Stitcher.
Finally.
Hello, it's a holiday miracle.
Yay,
we
it's
did
a
it.
Festivus miracle.
All right. Fuck this movie. Let's do this. This one. Okay, I have to tell you, this is my least favorite movie that we've ever seen. I left my body for many minutes, an hour maybe, I don't know. I have no idea, but it was an out-of-body experience.
The only positive thing I can say for this movie, and I had to search.
Bottom of barrel, yeah.
High and low for something positive is, compared to the other movies we've seen, there was minimal dancing in this movie. So that made me happy.
Yeah.
There was a minimal amount of
there was dancing.
Well, there was less choreographed dancing with a bunch of friends. I'm sick of this. We watch so many movies with just ridiculous amounts of dancing in it. I can't
take it. There was dancing.
I can't watch 5 minutes straight of dancing. I just can't take it. At some point, I'm like, I get it. You're dancing. Fucking tell me more about the story. This isn't a goddamn dance video. It's a movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a marshmallow in a minute. I swear to Christ. And it's too early for a marshmallow. It's too early. It's too early. I'm going to go for it soon. I'm going to lose my mind.
So we watched Love Actually. We have been avoiding this movie. We have been avoiding it because we see that price tag. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. Okay.
From episode one, it was like, do Love Actually. Everybody wanted it.
I see that price tag. And I'm calling it a price tag. It's not runtime because this was a fucking price tag. I am owed compensation for this money.
Something.
This movie.
I don't know what.
2003, Love Actually, 2 hours and 15 minutes, starring Hugh Grant, Liam Neeson, Colin Firth, Laura Linney, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Keira Knightley, Martine McCutcheon, Bill Nighy, and Rowan Atkinson.
You forgot Billy Bob Thornton.
I didn't forget because that's not
starring.
No, I'm just saying.
You can just keep the list going.
This is a star-studded piece of shit movie.
Betty Draper.
The Drapes.
The Drapes.
Yeah.
You can just name it all.
Denise Richards.
Okay. Keep it going.
So the IMDb description, because I really want to get into this. There is no plot. There is no anything, because this was a very weird movie where you knew the plot of the movie going into the movie. So this was just all an experience where you could have your mouth open in the theater and just go, oh, wow. This movie is about love.
This movie is a supercut of plot lines of all sorts of romantic comedies. They took like a bunch of romantic comedies and spliced them together and mashed them into this fucking movie.
Let me get through my description. Let me get through my taglines. Let me get through my fun facts.
Fine, do it.
I get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you to put a marshmallow in it in a minute.
It's already been 2 hours and 15 minutes of this, so you're going to tell me about it again.
Follow the lives of 8 very different couples in dealing with their love lives in various loosely interrelated tales, all set during a frantic month before Christmas in London, England.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, tagline. A lot of these are just like, you know, for the, you know, coming this winter type of thing. Love Actually is all around.
Oh, that's great.
This holiday season, all you need is Love Actually. This holiday season, join the unforgettable filmmaking team as they explore that time of year. Coming soon, actually. The ultimate romantic comedy.
How many fucking taglines are there?
8. Very romantic, very comedy. All you need is love, and it's all about love, actually.
Jesus Christ.
La 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 la.
This movie, if you see a movie and on the poster there's 14 boxes with people in them, that's too many people. That's not a good movie.
Yeah.
This movie's so bad and such like the archetypal rom-com that this isn't even. Most rom-coms are like date movies.
Yeah,
you know, like
this was abusive.
Your Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson, piece of that's a date movie. That's fine. You can get convince your boyfriend to go take you to see that and whatever. Come on, we're going. All right, fine. I'll go to fucking that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you want to go drool over the McCons.
This is a movie that you wouldn't even a woman wouldn't even bother trying to drag her boy. You go to see this with like 6 other women,
or
this
by
is
yourself.
That movie. Yeah, this is a movie where. Exactly. Okay. 6 other women, or you go to it by yourself because you have some weird depressive issue. With a bag of marshmallows. So you can, they don't hear your sobs from the back row. Because that's the type of, if you went to see this alone, you sobbed in the back row and stuffed goobers and raisinettes in your mouth to try to quell the noise so the other women didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I'm pulling no punches with this fucking movie. All right, that's it. A first marshmallow of the night. I was going to stuff two of them. But that way I can't talk.
Okay.
Just call them.
Okay, good. Okay, so we... I'm so mad at you. This episode is not going to be good because everybody's just going to be like, wow, they didn't even have their normal structure. And this
structure?
Movie broke me.
This movie didn't have a structure.
Me. Okay, stop.
Movies have acts.
Stop. Your marshmallow. Stop. I'm going to put another marshmallow.
Movies have acts. They have things. This
we
movie
begin.
Just happened.
There's a bunch of people greeting each other at an airport. Okay. And then it starts with a Hugh Grant voiceover. What do we know about a Hugh Grant voiceover or a voiceover at all? Terrible movie. When I think of the state of the world, I think of the Heathrow Airport. And he's saying that every greeting is about love.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's about love. So
there's a 9/11 reference in there, which is a strange opening for a rom-com.
One of the lines says, when the planes hit the Twin Towers, I can't imagine any of the phone calls were about hate. They were probably all about love. I was like
Jesus Christ.
Ew.
It's the beginning because they're showing like real airport footage of people seeing each other. And then he's talking about 9/11. It feels like the beginning of like a news channel documentary.
Yeah.
About like, you know.
About airports post 9/11.
How people have healed since 9/11. And like, you know, the family. Like that's
and
what
I was
it feels
like. Whoa.
Like.
Yeah. Okay.
Not good.
So now we see Bill Nighy and he is now singing. He's singing. Bill Nighy, the Billy Mack guy. The old guy, the singer.
Oh,
guy.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So he's singing, I feel it in my fingers.
Yeah. I apologize, by the way, if I say who? What?
Okay.
Because there's 85
people. That's a problem. There's
movie.
85 people in this movie, and we only know how many names, James?
One.
Natalie.
We know Natalie.
That's the only character's names that we know.
Hugh Grant never gets a name.
No, and at the end on the credits, it says the Prime Minister. It doesn't even say his name.
No, he's doing the opening voiceover, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and he's the Prime Minister. He should have a name, but he has no name.
It's so easy to call him Prime Minister so-and-so.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. We never learn anybody's names. And in the credits, no help either, because most of them don't have names. And then one of them was like, Michael, Sarah's brother. And we were like, who's Sarah?
I feel like that was actually on purpose, though. Laura Linney. There you go. I feel like it was on purpose because I feel like there's so many characters. They said, look, if there's a Michael and a William and a this and that, people are not going to keep all this shit straight.
Oh, we know
Let's
two
just
names.
Make him like the Prime Minister. You remember that. Who cares what his goddamn name is? Yeah. This guy.
Hugh Grant.
What are you, Grant?
We knew two names, Carl and Natalie.
That's right, Carl.
We were very into Carl.
Yeah, that's right.
We were the most invested in Carl.
I was very upset with Laura Linney. She had her boobs out.
Yeah.
Things were about to happen.
Things were about to happen. So I'm just going to go over everybody because we kind of meet everybody here. And then James and I will just, I guess, word diarrhea because there's no, that's what this movie was just diarrhea.
Yeah,
that's fine.
If you went through the whole movie, it would just be like, because it's a series of 2-minute scenes, which is the only way this movie's even
and that's
livable.
That's the other thing is that here's what I want. I want to see everyone's storylines and I want to have them released as like 10-minute shorts because I want to see how fucking crazy it was edited together.
Yeah.
Like where you have like this and then it just cuts to them like dancing and it's like weird. So
movie out of structure.
Yeah,
and,
I'd like to see the movie out of structure and I'd like to see uninterrupted in sequence 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that they all end up at the same children's fucking thing at
which
the end
is
of
insane,
the movie.
Because honestly,
including Bilbo Baggins and that girl.
Yeah, including me,
there's no connection with anybody.
Let's just
they didn't
go
have
see
kids.
Children do a Christmas
let's,
show? What
yeah,
are
let's
you
go on
about?
A date and let's go watch kids.
You couldn't pay
do
me.
Do a nativity scene.
Yeah, you could not pay me to go to a children's performance if I have no children in that performance that are physically from me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. So,
no. Okay.
And anyone who does, I'm questioning who they are.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's
you gotta,
weird.
When you enter the house, we got to
see
if you
have a kid there,
or if
you
drink.
I'm sorry. That's okay. Exactly.
So Bill is Billy Mack. He's a singer. He's a British old guy singer.
Washed
he's trying
up.
To get he's trying to get like a Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, which he'll never get that, but that's okay. And so he's
God
trying to
him.
Get that. And we find out that it is 5 weeks to Christmas. So we see Colin Firth. He's late. He loves this person who's sick, doesn't appear to love him back because he's like, I love you. And she's like, okay, like, I know. And I'm like, ooh, red flag already, Colin. Okay.
Red was her nose, by the way.
Well, she had a cold or something.
Yeah, but good God, woman. I mean,
Liam,
just human. I've never seen a human's nose that red. She's like Rudolph.
Liam Neeson is calling and leaving a voicemail with somebody. And then he's calling Emma Thompson. And she's like, hey, I'm not blowing you off, you know, because your wife just died. And I'm like, you kind of are blowing him off right now. Like, you're kind of doing that. He's calling you because he's saying, I'm really sad and I don't know who to talk to.
And you're like,
I have to go talk to my kid about the lobster.
Back. Yeah,
that she's playing a lobster
peace,
in the
call you back.
Scene like that. This is a ridiculous conversation, Emma.
That's the other odd thing is Emma Thompson is like the center of the
everybody.
Spoke in this thing. She's the
she knows everybody.
She's the center square here. She's the connection to scene.
And we didn't find out until like 60 minutes into the movie that she's married to Alan Rickman. And we were like, What happened?
I know. I was like, oh, are they together?
Yeah, because I'm like, why is she in his bedroom?
Then she walked out and I was like, oh, they're like brother and sister or something. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe because it's Christmas,
it's like
they're staying in the same house.
Yeah,
I figured like maybe because it's Christmas, they all came home for the whatever. And so she's like advising him and then they're in the same bed. I don't know what's happening in this movie. I really don't.
So then we have Bilbo Baggins. This guy plays Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit. And he's humping on somebody. So they're on a film set, I think, for probably a porn. And
yeah, this is a very high budget
porn,
showing, by the way.
They're showing lighting for the nipples. They're always lighting the nipples.
Very concerned with the nipples and how
but
they're going to be lit.
The funny thing is that James goes, because it was like the second cycle of meeting them. And he goes, those are the only people that I'm interested in. The rest of them are so boring.
Yeah,
he's like, I want to know what the hell they're doing.
At least they're doing something interesting here. Yeah. You know, having a normal conversation while humping on each other is a clever writing ploy. Yeah. The rest of it is just horseshit.
It's super British
pile
that they did
of
that too. Now we're at a wedding and we see Keira Knightley.
We even get male nudity with the guy at the end. So it's a very British sense of humor.
It's very British.
A lot of it.
But we've got Keira Knightley at this wedding. Oh, and then Hugh Grant pulls up. And, somewhere he's got big applause. And then we're like, okay, cool. He's the prime minister, because you're like, who the fuck is this guy? And then you're like, oh, it's Hugh Grant. What does Hugh Grant do? And they're like, hello, Mr. Prime Minister. Like, welcome to your first day as prime minister. Like,
welcome to prime minister camp. And he's like, hi.
Do you want to meet the people? And he's like, yeah, sure. Like, he's just doing some on-the-job training as prime minister. And she's like, let's change the country. I'm like,
of course,
that's
he's
crazy.
Bumbling and stumbling while he's meeting his
making
staff.
Making jokes. And
oh, I had an uncle named Terrence. And
he was a pervert.
I think he was a pervert, though, but not that you're a pervert. I'm looking forward to it. I was like, oh, my God, you, Grant, move along.
Yeah, we are.
There's 30 other people in this movie.
At 8 minutes and 31 seconds, and I have officially checked out.
Yeah, no time for your shenanigans,
Hugh. My body has left. I am up in the ethereal planes. I have no idea where I am. Okay.
My body left with the three bowls worth of weed smoke that we had during this movie because I can't take it.
There's a girl at the end of the line. Okay. So I'm only talking about this because she's one of the gals. This is Natalie. And Natalie is one of the gals because the assistant says, I'm going to introduce you to your staff. And then here's this person, here's this person, here's this person. And then here's Natalie. And she said shit twice. And she said the F word. And she's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. And get over it. Hugh Grant's an adult. He's heard a swear word before.
Yeah, they're really playing up that she's like, oh, I live in the dodgy end later on. Like she's working class. And that was a very British storyline. Like she's a working class and he's not. But he finds her charming for some reason. So
yeah, we're back at the wedding and the friend of the groom for Keira Knightley's wedding. This guy looks like he was born about 10, 15 years too late to have auditioned to be on Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, this
guy.
The
British Jason Priestley, creep.
British Priestley, who's the worst character. He's worse than Rickman. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think they're both tied for last place.
Okay, but Rickman, relationships get whatever. After they've been together for 20 years, I don't know what the hell their personal dynamic is. That's fine.
I have a whole diatribe
about that. He's a piece of garbage, but this guy's like actively trying to make a weird play for his best friends. It's the creepiest shit I've ever seen.
And then he's just like, it's cool.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it was not good.
His best friend, by the way, the guy who marries Keira Knightley, looks like a civil rights activist from 1962.
Yeah, he really does.
They give him his haircut is like of a haircut that hasn't been seen since the early 60s.
It was great.
It was great, but the low, the very low fro of a height of only happened then, and then it got bigger, and then it got much smaller, but it hasn't been at that height since the early 60s.
That guy seems to, we don't see him, the husband.
It's like Keira a beetle Knightley's, haircut. It's the black guy equivalent of a beetle's
Keira
haircut.
Keira Knightley's husband, I don't know his name. I think it's Peter.
No, I
think it's Peter. I have no idea.
No, I was like but civil rights guy. That was my name for him.
Does nothing. Nothing positive or negative.
He's just there.
Feel nothing about him. He's just a guy in a suit. That's how they treat him in this movie. He's not like, I don't know how good of friends he is with British Priestley. I have no idea anything. I don't feel any betrayal. But he's not even a good best man because he's not even doing that. He's filming at the thing and he's laughing and he's pushing down and the worst cameraman ever.
They had no time to like introduce any backstories.
And I didn't get any feelings.
No, no, because they had no. Normally, you get to know a person in a movie, even if it's a shit movie.
Yeah.
You see their life. They show something bad happened to them, so you feel bad for them. There's a way that you write a movie in a screenplay where you build up characters. This doesn't have that at all.
No,
that's why everybody like works together who hooks up, because there's no other way to show them. They don't have time to show them doing anything else. They don't have time to show them meeting and getting to know each other. It has to
there
be
was a lot of
they know each other. They're at work already, so that way they're in love with each other. That's it.
But there was a lot of people who are like in positions of power.
Every
and they're like, oh, I love this person, and so like, can you give them a new job?
Yeah.
What job did you get her?
So instead of being like the prime minister's, that's the thing for Natalie. I was like, okay.
You're just going to give her another job so you can fuck her? Like, what does that mean?
Well, also, like, that sucks for her because you dig her. Now she's got to have a worse job because now she's the assistant to like the prime minister, which seems like that would look good on a resume later rather than she works over in some other department. I don't know. That just seems.
Yeah.
So it seems like she got screwed over because they like each other.
Thanks a lot, Hugh Grant.
Yeah. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
So that was messed up. Wow. You know, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, but so Colin Firth comes home. I think his girlfriend is cheating on him. It's really like a weird commercial for like, you're right, because once you put them all together, like all the clips, it would look like a weird commercial for like every type of relationship. Because he's like, oh, what are you doing at my house, friend? And then the guy's like, they hear the girlfriend in the background going like, get in here and fuck me like you've never fucked me before. And
says
then,
that we gotta get do me at least twice before Colin Firth gets home.
Yeah,
I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, I obviously
awfully
I called,
specific.
I faked a cold to get you over here to do that.
And put it was your just, penis inside of me before my husband gets home, who I feel less feelings for than I used to.
Let's get this very adulterous relationship going today.
Come on in here and help me commit adultery.
Yeah. It was just, and then.
On Colin Firth.
Yeah.
It's home from work.
By the way, this is his wife. Okay. So the friend is there. So they hear like, you better get in here and, you know, whatever. And then the friend goes like, he goes, like, yeah, like it was just a weird like SNL sketch,
yeah,
like commercial for relationships.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
It was almost like
boink.
It was like one of those. Like, it was very good.
High five.
It was because it was British. I almost expected it to turn into like a Benny Hill thing where they looked at each other. He was like ew, and then it was and then he chased him around the kitchen in a circle, and he went in a room and came out, and the other guy popped out of a cabinet or something. That's what I expected.
Laura Linney is also in this movie, and she works at some.
What
place
the hell?
And she knows she's at the wedding. She's at the wedding, and then she's also at like she works at the same place as Alan Rickman. So like Laura Linney knows Alan Rickman, knows British Priestley guy, loves Carl.
In love with Carl.
Did I introduce everybody?
No. Who cares?
I don't even know.
This movie? You said at the top.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter. Oh, then there's
matter.
The British Jim Brewer guy, the crazy one that's like all pervy and he's like, this is my future wife and being gross with everybody.
It's the only entertaining storyline in the movie because it's so stupid.
Right. Yeah.
He's correct about everything and you know, has this fantasy and it's actually all true and lives it. It's a very British thing too because it's like a British view of America.
He's like, British girls are all terrible.
They're also stuck up and they don't like me.
And he's like, so I'm going to go to America and I'm going to get me a gal.
Yeah, where just my accent, just me being British will get him girls. And the guy's like, what are you, stupid? And I'm like, the guy's right, actually. You could be the goofiest fuck in the entire United Kingdom. If you come here, you'll get laid just from your accent.
Yeah, Hugh Grant.
That's what I mean. Women here are swarming over him.
He goes to Milwaukee.
I don't understand how he chose Wisconsin.
And then he met like four of the hottest people anybody's ever seen in their lives, and they definitely don't live in Milwaukee.
No, all four of those girls would have fled from Wisconsin the day they dropped out of high school.
Yeah.
Garen fucking Teed.
They're too pretty.
Because they only
one
dropped out
Betty Draper.
To get out of Wisconsin. Yeah, one of them's Betty fucking Draper, for Christ's sake. Who's the other one?
It was the one girl from, the Russian one from...
Yeah.
Head over heels.
Yeah, it was
and
like.
And then it was Betty Draper, January Jones, and then it was the girl from The Girl Next Door, like the hot, the super hot girl who
ridiculous.
Looks like a porn star, but she's hot as fuck.
No and offense, then, Milwaukee. I've been to Milwaukee. No, they don't. That does not exist.
We haven't
in
seen
Milwaukee.
Them.
I have not seen that at all. But I don't know. We didn't go to the dive bars, though.
We didn't go to that like specific bar.
That's true. He went to a dive bar where it was like...
He just like put his stuff down in the bar and was like...
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah.
I'll have a beer.
And she was like, are you from England? Oh my yeah. God. And then there you
and
go.
And then they're, you know, oh, we are all very poor and yeah. we all share a bed. And
so it was
like, oh God.
It went like, yeah, we can't even afford pajamas. So we have to sleep naked. Yeah, it was like his fantasy of what America yeah. was.
Gross.
Was true.
So he's insane. But like, I was kind of mad at his friend who is the guy that works on the porn set.
Discouraging him.
But yeah, he was just like, oh, whatever, dude. And I'm like, just laugh at him.
He's a kid. He's like 22 years old. He wants to go on vacation to try to get laid. You know how many people of that age go on vacation to try to get
well,
laid of every gender?
Because he's working on a porn set. So he's like, it's fine.
Well, he should know that sex can happen then.
That's what I mean.
Every day
but
work.
I think that he's just more jaded about it. Like, yeah. whatever. Like, you're yeah. just not meeting the right ladies and you just need to get laid. So just, like, leave me out of it. I think that's what he's like.
Yeah,
like,
I think you're right.
It.
Yeah, I think you're
but
right.
But it does come across very unsupportive. It does come across yeah. very, like...
Good luck, bro.
And he wasn't horribly unattractive. He was just pretty unattractive. But some people might find him charming.
Yeah, in England, I'm sure he's not the prize. But when you come
we
to America...
all have bad taste.
That British accent here, you can yeah. be a 4 and that kicks you up to like an 8.5 over here.
That's what I mean.
Crazy. You have no idea the power of that accent here.
Everybody has bad taste.
Intelligent.
Yeah. And tell me your, like, tweet at me. Tell me your horrible taste person that you have a crush on for some reason.
It happens too.
James's is Alicia Silverstone.
Yes. 25 years ago, yes. When I was fucking 14, I was very much, yes, I liked her.
I'm joking. Okay.
Now she's weird and feeds her kids like a bird.
And doesn't vaccinate them.
Yeah, she's a strange
okay.
one.
So Bilbo Baggins and the other lady, they're stand-ins for a porn movie. I don't think that, I think that they're just there for like the lighting. Like, oh, we have to have the actors
yeah.
on set. So they're
this
doing
is
all the-
very high budget porn movie.
It is very high budget.
They literally
very.
Have complete stand-ins that get nude and yeah. a full crew with lighting. And it was really like a Hollywood set.
Yeah. So I want to know what
impressed.
They're filming.
I want to see that finished product. What porn is
but
that?
They were easily the funniest characters in the whole movie. I really enjoyed them because it was so British. It was so British yeah. that they're, you know, they're having a very like, oh, like, you know, getting to know you, small talk conversation as
like
they're
awkwardly
like
awkwardly British yeah. as they're mock humping each other.
As he's like massaging
other.
Her boobs and yeah. like, he's like, you know, warming his hands
as
up.
His dick's
to, like,
in her face and
yeah,
she's
and it
pretending
was,
to blow
it
him.
Was just, it was very like, ha ha ha, like very British. I thought that was funny. Yeah. I did think that couple was funny.
I did not expect to see exposed boobs in this movie, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That was the last thing. With that, I was like, Jesus, there's tits in this
there's
movie?
There's so much tits
and
in this
And then
movie.
Later on, I'm like, Laura Linney showing her tits in this movie? What's going on? What a weird movie.
Do we need to see anybody's tits in this movie?
I feel like,
except for Carl's.
Carl's, yes, but I feel like the girl on the set, it was kind of necessary for the comedy. Like,
yeah.
the fact that they were both nude was
and they were just,
funny.
They don't know each other, and
yes.
then he's like, oh, okay.
That was
like,
less sexual than it yeah. was, like, comedic. That was like,
they did a great job of just looking like stand-ins,
yeah.
like, okay, like, we
just,
do this.
Yeah, pretending
yeah.
to hump each other. But, like, in British comedy a lot, you know, yeah. male nudity is a big thing, and I feel like they used, like, the female nudity, and that is the same type of thing. It was
yeah.
just like, hey, isn't it awkward we're nude,
yeah.
rather than some sort of weird sexual thing. Whereas, like, the Laura Linney thing, I was like, do we need to see, like, why did they make Laura Linney show her boobs?
But it was because Carl.
Not that it's fine if Laura Linney wants to show her boobs all over town. I don't care. But it was just an odd choice of, like, I to make an actress show her boobs there.
Yeah.
It was like, she could add a bra and it would have really had the same effect, I think.
Like a lacy one. Okay,
yeah, like
anyway.
She took her thing off and her bra's underneath.
Liam Neeson.
Who saved her dignity in this movie.
A little
That's
bit.
That's all I'm saying.
Liam Neeson is speaking at the funeral for his wife. He is the pallbearer at this. I was like, oh my God, that seems
that's
devastating. So
odd.
I didn't know if that was like a, because like, here in America, I don't think that we
is that a British thing.
I
want to
know if that's a British thing or if that's just a Love Actually movie thing. Is it just a Liam Neeson thing? Like, is he like,
it might be a Liam
I'm
going to
be
thing.
My dead wife's own pallbearer.
I'm
so
strong, I can be my own dead wife's pallbearer.
I can mentally handle this.
I can physically lift the coffin and yeah. I can mentally handle it.
I can emotionally process this
because I'm Liam Neeson.
I am able to shoulder this
pain. Did I mention she was killed by terrorists?
I was
kidnapped
like,
and
where
tortured for a month.
The okay,
Merry Christmas, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson is such not okay. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say it. I don't think he's a good actor, like at all. And
he's intense.
He is very intense.
When he's not in an intense scene, it's like it's
I weird. Was like, okay, if this movie turns into like everybody else is falling in love. And then, like, Liam Neeson is seeking vengeance for his dead wife.
That would have been awesome.
I would have really enjoyed that.
I would have loved that storyline.
Yeah.
And then him and the boy seek vengeance.
Yeah.
That would
and
have
then
been great.
When he's talking to the stepson, which we found out that it was the stepson,
at
like,
the last
way
minute.
Late in the movie. thank God for Claudia Schiffer, because otherwise we would have never known that.
We would
that.
Have never known that, which is, by the way, this movie is the most unrealistic movie for several reasons. Number, you know, first of all, the whole Carl thing. She's letting that second call go to voicemail, and she is fucking riding the Carl train that she's been wanting to ride for 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're getting on the Carl rodeo.
And Carl's not like, well, I'll just get up and leave. Carl
is ready to go.
There could have, believe me, there could have been 8 phone calls, and Carl would have been like, I'm still in my underwear, so I'm down for this. If you are,
I'm fine.
Like, we can, you know, get one in quick before you go to the mental hospital, whatever you got to do.
So Liam Neeson, when he is telling, so he's talking to the stepson, and he's talking to the stepson about, you know, whatever about the kid loves. No, because he's acting weird, and he's like, is somebody bullying you? And like, you know,
that
to the kid, and the kid's like, no, and I'm laughing because I'm like, if this turns into like Liam Neeson with vengeance and children,
that's going to be
this
wild.
This is going to be great.
Then
this
we're
going
to have
gonna be
a
my
movie.
Favorite movie. Now we've got some.
Now we have a
on.
Christmas movie. God damn
this
it!
This is a Christmas movie. This is about
and
love.
And they're going to kill Alan Rickman and throw him off the top of the Nakatomi Plaza.
How dare you treat Emma Thompson?
Take
like that,
Rickman. You're going down 100 floors or however goddamn high that was.
You listen to Joni Mitchell, bitch.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Take that.
Woo! No, okay. Jeez. So, Christ. Liam Neeson, the fact that he was like a happy, like good stepdad, like he was great. I mean, he
that
was really great.
Line,
but
yeah, sorry.
It was weird. So, the kid... I think his name is Sam.
I don't know.
I don't know because I think I heard it like twice.
I don't know.
Sam is a little, he's like, maybe 10, and he's in love.
A little drummer boy. He's 11, they say.
Oh, he's 11.
That
okay.
I do know.
He's in love, and he is like, oh, this is my one person. Like, I know
he's
I should
in love
be
with
thinking,
glitter.
I know I should be thinking about my dead mom and everything, but I can't because I'm in love with this girl.
Kid doesn't shed a tear.
And he's just like, you know, I hope that, I know I should, like, but.
The British are a stoic people. I will say that they don't show a lot of emotions. They're like, I know mom died, but
And then
I'm thinking of practical matters.
Like, what about you with your love life, Liam Neeson? And he's like, oh, I'm working on it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what is happening? And by the way, that storyline should not have existed because right after the funeral, Liam Neeson should have bent down and went, now we're going to find your dad and give you to him. Because I ain't your fucking father, so I'm not going to raise you now.
He would not do that.
You
got to
have
Neeson.
An aunt or an uncle or a grandfather.
No.
If you're kidnapped, I'll avenge you, okay? But other than that, that's all I do. I'm Liam Neeson.
Believe.
I don't raise a stepson on my own. I'm Liam Neeson.
Oh, no.
Liam Neeson, unless you need to be avenged, keep my fucking name out of your mouth.
I think you need a marshmallow.
Because I'm Liam fucking Neeson, goddammit.
No, you need a marshmallow.
No, I don't, because I'm Liam Neeson, and I'm not taking this goddamn kid. Yeah, his mother died, but who the fuck knows what the fuck this kid is? He doesn't know. Now he's stuck with this kid.
So
what about practical matters like health insurance?
Does he have
the... What about, can he enroll him in school? Is he the legal goddamn guardian? Fine. It's a 3 marshmallower, because Liam Neeson's making me... Oh, fucking
Lord. Okay, stop. So Liam Neeson, his storyline is now, I have lifted the coffin of my dead wife and carried it out of the church, which looked very painful, and I was very sad for him. And then he turns into watching that his stepson is in love with somebody. And I thought that was kind of nice because that was a bonding thing for them, and it was also distracting. So they don't have to think about sad.
Great.
Okay. So they
don't have to give the mother
they watch
her
Titanic do. And they do like whatever and they're, you know, he wants to be in a band, the kid, and so he learns how to play the drums, of course, cuz he has to play the most annoying of the instruments, and
he's in love with young glitter, basically.
Yeah.
If you've seen Glitter, it's young Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Kind of like that's the character, like a young girl who can sing.
Yeah.
And sings a Mariah Carey song.
That's yeah, of
made,
course.
Made me think of Glitter.
So that's the Liam Neeson storyline. Oh, and also he says that he would love to go out with Claudia Schiffer. And if
it's his fantasy.
Go out with Claudia Schiffer, that the kid would have to leave because he's going to have sex with her in every room.
In
and
every
I was
room.
Like, let's not talk about this with an 11-year-old.
Which is what you tell your 11-year-old stepson after his mom dies. I'm going to find this hot woman and bang her in your room.
I'm going to be cool. Yeah. I'm
going to bang her right on your race car bed, kid. So pack up and move out. Sorry. What the fuck is that? What is
like, that? Liam Neeson. Sir. Yeah. Okay.
Dude. Inappropriate.
Okay. So the Laura Linney character, the Laura Linney saga. So we see her at the wedding because British Jason Priestley is acting weird at the wedding and she's like, do you love him or something? And he's like, oh no. And like acting all weird. And she's like, okay. All right. So Laura Linney, I don't know what she does, but she works at the same office that Alan Rickman works at.
Yeah, she's
and
under
she
him.
She seems to like this man named Carl.
Not seems to. She's in love with him for 2 years and 7 months and 3 weeks and 2 days and
what does
an hour
he
and
do?
A half or something.
He's
shit.
Like an art person?
He's like an art person. I don't even know what they do. It doesn't matter. Office where they do.
She's
stuff.
Always working late and Carl's always there.
A lot
as well.
Of late hours. It's always pitch black. All the lights are off and turn the fucking lights on. There's two people there still.
Yeah.
You know what? If you don't want to pay the electric bill of having the goddamn lights on, then you don't want two people working late in your fucking office. Turn the lights on.
Okay. So anyway.
Can't take this movie.
Alan Rickman's like, hi, how are you, Laura Linney?
Ugh.
How long have you worked here? And she says, 2 years, whatever. How long have you left Carl? And she's like, oh God, 2 years. Like, he's like, everybody knows it. Carl knows it. I know it. Like, just fucking, how can we make this happen? How can I get you into a Carl today?
Exactly. How can I get you into a Carl?
After we see Carl, I'm like, what's your problem? Like,
Carl's a very attractive
man. My first
man.
Question would have been, oh, so Carl knows, is he into it?
I didn't think Carl was going to like Laura Linney.
That's what I'm like. So I'm like, is it this embarrassing? Or like, so he knows about it, but like, okay, sup though? Like, I going after Carl? Like, is this in the bag?
Because Carl is the typical jacked artist that you usually come across.
He is so sensitive.
He's a very sensitive.
Chiseled.
Chiseled, jacked, but sensitive.
He is a fucking sculpture, Carl.
You want to have an artist who's very sensitive but never misses chest day. That's a very important part of
1%
it.
1% body fat.
That's the issue.
Carl was insane looking.
Carl does
like,
road work at 4 a.m.
Carl took his shirt off and I was like, oh, Carl.
You're like Carl,
I'm
Jesus.
Like, if I'm Laura Linney, I'd be like, I need to, like, I don't know, pinch myself. Like, what happened to me that I get Carl?
That's what I'm saying. She's very much, and then what if she blows the whole thing?
Oh, Laura Linney blows it.
She blows it. She puts her boobs away. Once she puts her boobs away, I'm like, what are you doing, Laura Linney?
So
I was like, jerk him off while you're on the phone at least for a little bit. You're like, hey,
so
hold on a minute.
She,
I'm going to keep you going.
There's some weird thing where she's always on the phone and she's always saying like, oh, it's okay, babe. Like, da da da. So you're like, oh. Who is this babe?
But it's clearly like...
It's clearly a family member, but you're just like, okay, but who is this? Like, you're supposed to like be like that Laura Linney is mysterious. And she is. And so Carl is dancing with her at the party or whatever. And then he just like makes out with her by dropping her off. So Carl is fucking into this.
Carl is down.
Carl needed the green light. He was maybe a little bit apprehensive and he's like, listen, chick is super into
I'm gonna
me.
Get me some Linney.
I'm into this.
I will have the Linney with cheese.
Yeah.
And he's down.
Yeah. He's getting the,
Sounds like a regional sandwich.
He's getting the quarter pound Laura Linney with cheese.
Yeah. It sounds like a sandwich. The
Great.
Linney. It's like a weird, if you go to like Ohio, they'll have, you got to get a Linney.
And poor Carl never got a taste.
No.
The Linney.
Well, poor
Linney.
Well, he'd
Linney. Got a taste of the Linney. But yeah, poor Linney, poor Carl.
She was the one who was really wanting it for years. He was like, oh, she likes me? Yeah, what the hell?
Because they're it's her brother, and her brother is not well.
Her brother's mentally challenged.
Yeah,
I guess,
and so, and I guess
it.
Her parents died. Like, their parents died. So she's taking care of her brother, but he
who
calls
lives in
a
lot. Home.
Yeah.
He, like, lives under constant supervision.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep, why do they let him use the phone in the middle of the night? How about, hey, asshole, you can't call your sister at 3 a.m. You're in a fucking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, that would be like, if I'm Laura Linney, I'd be like, can you not let him call me at 3 a.m. constantly?
Carl.
Chill out. I get that he doesn't
Carl
get it, but you get it. You work here.
Carl and I are going to start having sleepovers.
Yeah. me and Carl here. Bring Carl along. This is Carl, okay?
You can't call me at 3 a.m.
Carl, take your shirt off and show my brother. See this over here? Carl has 1% body fat and my tits were out like a half hour ago. So you're really inconveniencing me at this point, little brother. All right?
Stop calling me.
And he's not just like a little like impaired. He's not Rain Man. He's over the fucking rainbow. He tries to hit her with a left hook while they're sitting there. Like the staff has to come restrain
him. Don't call me at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Do you see Carl?
You don't need to answer every goddamn call that comes in from this guy who's swinging at you. It was not anywhere. And I get that you want to take care of him, but for the love of Christ, there's got to be a limit.
Yeah. And Carl.
Yeah.
Is that limit?
Carl is the limit. Gonna get you some Carl. Meanwhile, she's got fucking, you know, riding the bus with my sister calling her every other day.
So the first time she called, you know, so she starts going into the sob story. She's like, okay, listen, that's my brother. Like, he calls a lot. Like, I don't think she was expecting that he would call a lot. Like, I think she kind of forgot about it, that her brother calls a lot. But
this is right after she put her tits away, by the way. Her nipples are still hard through the material.
She put her tits away in the slip.
Carl's in his boxer briefs.
She's like, yeah. And Carl's just listening and he's very supportive. Yeah. And he's like, okay, but like, are we doing this?
Like, I am, in all honesty here, I am rock hard Carl at this point. I am Carl made of cold steel. So are we getting this on or do I have to take my Carl somewhere else? What are we doing here?
Carl's in his Calvins.
Carl's in his Calvins, and he's wanting a Malini sandwich. So what are we doing?
Carl's in his Calvins, okay?
Yeah, let's go.
So, yeah, that can be like a code word for people when they're like, hi, is this important? Because Carl's in his Calvins.
Yeah, I'm about to get it on. That means I just had to put my tits away to take this call.
Yeah, so I think that Laura Linney's storyline is very sad because she obviously wants to take care of her brother. Understandable. You know, she wants to be there for her brother, especially since their parents are not with us anymore. But then she also wants to have Carl.
She wants to.
And she needs to figure out how to have a balance.
Yeah.
She needs to figure out how to have boundaries. And I think that like, she knows that. And she's like, fuck, I fucked it up with Carl.
She has to have one of the sad stories. Because you can't have, like, because there's, like, 12 storylines. You can't have them all be successful. That would be crazy. So it's like a wrestling card, basically, where there's, like, you know, 10 matches and, like, 4 bad guys are going to win matches and, like, 6 good guys. And that's how they're going to do it.
The Billy Mack guy, the Christmas, he's going to do the Christmas song.
Oh, Jesus. Whatever. Christ, I forgot all about
him.
He
is, obviously like a washed up kind of singer. And he's got this song and this is all about him trying to get this song to be the number one song in the country before Christmas.
Yeah.
So he accomplishes that.
He decides to just let loose and start being honest and being a dick on TV and like, and people are like, this is great. How refreshing.
Yeah, so he does, you know, crazy stuff. And
he says the song sucks on the radio. He's like, it's the worst. It's so stupid. He's like, I hate it. I can't believe it's a pile of crap.
Yeah.
Let's make it number one.
He's going, you know, little bonjour here.
Going a little fucking bonjour.
So he's a little bonjour, and then he realizes by the end of it, you know, he got his number one song, and that he realizes that he loves his manager and that they are like a family. So that was like a love, like that he appreciates this person because
not a romantic love.
He's an egomaniac. Love. Like he's like, you know, it's nice that you love me as much as I love me.
He left Elton John's party.
To drink champagne with his manager because he's like, I wanted to celebrate with you.
Christmas is about being with the people you love.
Yeah. You can love Elton John, but you got to love your manager that dresses like Jay Leno.
I don't know why I just didn't take his manager to the party.
Take your manager to the party.
I'm taking you to go hang out with rock stars at Elton John's house.
Oh, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's what he's like. He's like, I always think to invite you and I just never invite you. And I wanted to show you that I love you. But anyway, that's his arc.
Wanted to show you that I love you.
He ends up, he said that if it hits number one, he'll perform nude on...
Live on TV.
So he does that.
On Christmas Eve or whatever the shit. Who cares?
And then Prime Minister Hugh Grant, he keeps seeing that Natalie girl and he acts like he's never spoken to women before.
Yeah, he's the prime minister. To get elected the head of a fucking country, you have to have some measure of self-confidence when you speak.
And but like he's like she'll come in and like you know drop biscuits off and then yeah. he's like oh, thank you for the cookie like you know.
Thank you.
And if he wasn't always trying to be so fucking witty, maybe he wouldn't bumble as much.
Yeah, that's it. Just be yourself, dude.
Yeah,
Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant, that's right.
But anyway, so he...
Pick up who you want to pick up at 2 a.m.
This storyline is crazy. Live your truth. Yeah. This storyline is crazy. So he's like, oh, I find it crazy that I'm uncomfortable working with you because I don't know anything about you. And so she's like, oh, I'm from the dodgy area over there, Annette. Like,
yeah, that's exactly how she said it pretty much. It's the dodgy area. Isn't it? Yeah, they gave her like, be cockney.
She's like My Fair Lady.
Exactly. That's how they're trying to make.
Just you white and Regans.
yeah, they tried to, and I know I've seen in a lot of British things, obviously, where... very American, but like
very
class is an issue there with like basically like are you a private school or a public school?
We know this
person?
From Below Deck. Let's just go.
No,
ahead.
I know that from a lot of British things. It's like a very that's like the dividing line of like mm-hmm. whether you're, you know,
yeah.
kind of what class you're
but in. So at one point President Billy Bob Thornton of the United States.
That's all he is, President of the United States. No name, no president. They couldn't even
they called him the US president.
Yeah. They never said like President fucking Thomas is here. Yeah. Like, never. Just.
And then he was like, and then Hugh Grant goes, Prime Minister Hugh Grant was like, oh,
hello, so, President Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, President Billy Bob Thornton. Where is Mrs. President Billy Bob Thornton?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, she couldn't come. Like, the First Lady almost always comes to like meetings like that.
That's
because.
You go to Europe, they usually steal the show over there.
Yeah. And,
it's true, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, so the president is, of course, being all pervy and weird with Natalie.
And he won't give anything in the meeting with you, Grant, in a political meeting. He's like, nope, not going to give you that. Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Tough shit. America's got to do what America's got to do.
He's a butthole, and Hugh Grant is like knowing that he's a butthole. And he's like, you know, but I'm going to take it on the chin because he's president. And then they do a conference. They do a press conference, and everybody in the thing, obviously everybody in the staff of the prime minister knows that the prime minister saw that the president of the United States was being gross.
He was like licking Natalie's face when Hugh Grant walked in.
Yeah, that was gross. And they're all looking at him like through their eyebrows, like you better fucking call him out.
Say something.
For being a pervert. And
say
so
something.
He's like the president of the United States is a bully and he's making jokes and we're the home of the Beatles and you know we're a small country
can't come over here fingering my assistant.
You're no friend of mine.
Yeah, he tried to bully us and maybe our relationship isn't what it should be and isn't what we thought it was. And
yeah.
So he basically changes like 100 years of world history.
Gave them
in two
the
seconds.
What for.
Yeah, because of Natalie. So I mean, you know, as far as love goes, not bad, but
She's cute,
but as far as international intrigue goes, you know, that could really have a lot of ramifications down the road.
I think Natalie is worth international
intrigue. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, down the road, that could have ramifications. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a wrong thing, but...
So he gets her a new job.
Love Actually 2. And that's like... the UK's in a war and they go to like the US to try to get a coalition and the US won't help and actively goes against them. And that's the Love Actually 2.
And
Natalie
okay.
leaves Hugh Grant.
So Hugh Grant's storyline wraps up like that he is also Emma Thompson's big brother.
Yes.
He...
which is weird.
What else does he do?
She knows Liam Neeson and comforts him through the loss of his wife. Emma Thompson is also the brother of the prime minister, married to Alan Rickman, knows... fucking Laura Linney knows Carl because they work there. It's so weird.
So, Hugh Grant ends up like getting Natalie a new job, and then he says, "Okay, I got a Christmas card from her where she's like apologizing, and that's like you should have made it clear that she didn't do anything wrong because she's like, sorry that the president got weird with me.
Yeah,
like, what?
I swear,
and she's like,
I swear
I wasn't
there.
Trying to do anything, and it's like." Obviously, I believe you.
Clearly, you seemed very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
he was trying to lick your face.
You definitely did not look excited about President Billy Bob Thornton touching you, so...
Who would be?
Yeah. So I just felt like Hugh Grant probably could have made that more clear. But I did like that he always stuck up for her about when she was saying that, like, her boyfriend said that she had too thick of thighs.
They keep talking
about... And
that
guys don't want girls with thighs the size of tree trunks. And I was like, excuse me. Yes,
yeah, I don't know
yes
what,
guys
I
do.
Don't know what, yeah, I don't know what guys she's talking about.
Have you seen J-Lo? But...
Yeah, guys, we don't mind a thick-thighed woman. That's not a bad thing at all.
No.
And they keep calling her
chubby.
They keep calling her like, oh yeah, she's the, not only do they call her chubby, they use it as a reference point. They're like, ooh, the chubby
ooh,
girl.
Do you think that they're kind of like, doing like a Monica girl. Lewinsky thing there?
Yes, that's exactly what they were doing because it was 2003.
They kept calling her chubby.
They kept saying chubby, like they called. Yeah. That's the way they referenced her. Like, do you mean the chubby
problem.
Girl? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, she's not chubby. Yeah. There's
no,
nothing.
She was so cute.
You would never look at her and go, oh, yeah, she's pretty chunky. Like, there's nobody would say that about her. It was very strange. I thought that they made her, quote, the chubby girl through the movie.
And so he finds her at her house. He goes around. He's ringing people's doorbells, which I was like, well, she is on your staff. So you probably have her address. Up.
And he leaves. I don't know if this is true, by the way. England, we have a lot of British listeners. I would love to know. The Prime Minister, when he wants to go somewhere, like to the dodgy part of town, he can just walk outside and go, I'm going here. And the guy, and like two
I'm going
dudes.
To Circle K. Does anybody need anything?
Two dudes take him like it's an Uber.
Yeah.
Basically. And then they have one cop car following. Like that's the whole motorcade.
Yeah.
He's just and later on when he goes to the concert, he just tells the guy, yeah, I'll be back in a little while. And the guy's just waiting in the car. And he goes inside to the concert where they don't sweep it for bombs or check for anything.
Yeah.
Have they not had a lot of assassinations of head of states there where they don't have security like we do?
I guess not.
Because if the president went to McDonald's, like if he had to go through the drive through, it would be it's a procession. There's 20 vehicles
the whole
that have to follow it.
Neighborhood would be shut down.
Yeah, there'd be helicopters swarming above, making sure.
And
then
I would
crazy.
Be swearing.
Yeah,
I don't like it when you take up my traffic.
Yes, that's the thing over there. No traffic. You just blend right in. It's one cop car and a Jaguar.
I don't care what your problem is or where you need to be. I have other places that I need to be.
Yeah,
and you're inconveniencing my day.
Exactly.
But anyway, that's
that
fine.
Point.
Okay, so he goes and finds her, takes her to the Christmas concert because I mean technically those are his nieces and nephews, so like I you know he's going to that. Why he had to be weird about it I don't know, but
and he also knocked on Alan Rickman's secretary slash cheater
love interest
slash cheating partner.
Yeah,
he knocked on her door and she lives next door to Natalie, so I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, everybody
movie?
Knows everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that brings us to Alan Rickman. So Alan Rickman is a boss. Just
he
a boss
running
somewhere.
A company. He's got the big office.
Running a company.
People come into his office and give him plans and things and he approves them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
And when, you know, people are like, what do you need when he asks you to go in there? So their storyline is
in charge.
He is married to Emma Thompson and he is like flirting with his very young receptionist and they're always flirting with each other. And
is she very young?
She looks young.
Really?
Yeah, she looks like she was like 20.
Real, I did not get that from her. I at least she's. I actually thought at least she's not like 22. She looked like she was like 37 to me. I don't know.
I could be
completely wrong, but
maybe
she's just significantly
younger than Alan Rickman.
Younger than her, yeah. But in my brain, I was like, at least she's not 21.
She is like this girl, like is sitting in her chair and like spreading her legs in front of him, like
dude.
I was like, this is aggressive.
She's got she like she just like just bow.
This is aggressive.
And she like leans back in her chair like, like she's like shooting pheromones from her from her business. She was wafting.
She was trying to get Alan Rickman some of that wop.
Yeah, it was obvious. It was really fucking.
Yeah.
She's a waft-a-wop.
So she waft-a-wop. Oh my God, gross. No.
What?
I don't like this.
What? That's what you do when you like somebody, right, ladies? You waft-a-wop. That's the whole thing that you do, right? You just waft it over there. You sit before them and you waft-a-wop.
No.
You're like, yeah, that's the remix right over there. Watch out for it.
We're
going to
make an infomercial
soon.
Of waft-a-wop.
Yeah, waft-a-wop. Yeah. It's a certain little.
From the top, make it waft.
Yeah, it's a crotch fan. You put it in like...
Ew!
It's
no,
like
okay.
putting it in a window in a shitty house with it's hot inside.
Oh, you know? My God.
Except it's wafting.
I'm sending out my pheromones.
Do I need to eat more marshmallows now or what? Is that my
Linda Linney. Linda?
Linda Linney. This movie's a contest for, by the way, who's the whitest woman alive.
Absolutely.
It's like a contest. Then Betty Draper jumps in at the end of it and you're like, holy shit,
yeah,
there's a new contender. New contender.
Okay. So Alan Rickman, he is married to...
Emma T.
And she seems wonderful. She seems like a great mother.
She's supportive, nice, kind, funny.
She's supportive. She's funny.
Cool.
She's, you know. And Alan Rickman is flirting with his secretary all the time.
Waft-a-wop.
And she... Alan Rickman fucking buys this broad a necklace. And Emma Thompson sees it and she's like, ooh, I'm getting a necklace.
Yeah, he leaves it in his coat pocket hanging in the right in the front of the house. So she's like,
and then
ooh, what's
the
this?
Gift that he got her for Christmas was like the same size box. So she's like, ooh, I got me a necklace.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever. And then when she opens up the one Christmas present that he got her.
He got
her,
a couple because the kids wanted to give her a different one.
I know,
and she's like, no, let me pick out the gift I want to open now. Boom, this one because she wanted that necklace.
I like to see the other Christmas presents.
I want to see what else he got her that year. Yeah.
I'm just curious.
I want to know what
because
he got her.
Because that necklace was 270 pounds.
270 pounds. A Joni Mitchell CD was even a box set of some. It was going to be 30.
20 bucks.
30 pounds maybe, 20 pounds. So that's not going
to
be.
No. So I wanted to see what else you got because you're getting the assistant 270 pounds.
You better
the mother
get your
of
wife
your children.
Something. Yeah.
The mother of your children
Dude.
Gets very expensive gifts.
She should be getting something good.
Yeah.
Instead, she gets a fucking CD. So.
And she gets, you give her a Joni Mitchell CD, which then she gets to just like, here, I know this is going to hurt your feelings, and
this
I want you to really,
you,
I really want you to be present for all of them.
Yeah.
Here's some Joni Mitchell. He might as well, I mean, at least he didn't get her like Fiona Apple, because then she'd come out like ready
Jewel.
To kill him.
Do you need a marshmallow?
No.
Okay.
She'd come out ready to kill him. She'd be like, I've been a bad, I've been a bad, bad girl. She's going to be like Karen from fucking Goodfellas.
Yeah.
With the gun, right?
Janice Rossi. Rossi, you're nothing but a whore. Hello, Mr. Superintendent. Yes, sir. I'd like you to know that there's a whore living in your building. Rossi. Janice Rossi. Sorry.
Go ahead, finish the rest of it.
He's my husband. Get your own goddamn man.
Okay, I knew that you had to.
I had to give it her due. She needed her due, Karen Hill. I feel like she just didn't get it, so there.
James has to do the entire scene.
I have to. It's just a thing that I do.
Yeah, he has to do the whole scene. Anyway, so...
This movie.
Emma Thompson, at one point, gives Alan Rickman the business because she's like, listen... What am I supposed to do? I found a gold necklace in my husband's jacket, and he gave it to somebody else. And he's like, so either you gave it to her because you're fucking her, or you gave it to her because you love her.
Because you want
to
fuck her.
Yeah, and so she's like, so, I mean, how am I supposed to feel? And I was like, yes, Emma, laying down the law, giving him the business, good for you.
Yeah, and she even warned him about...
Yeah.
Waft-a-wop to begin with.
She's like, Mia is very pretty.
Mia is very pretty. He's like, who?
Yeah, he's like, oh, is she?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, by the way, if anybody says, is she, that's, you know, that person is avoiding answering the question.
Yeah,
so
the proper answer was, she's all right. That's the proper answer that you give as a husband.
Oh, my God.
No commitment. No.
If I were to ask James this, I would be so annoyed and I would just forget that I asked about anybody because I would just say like, oh, that girl's kind of cute. And he'd be like, no, she's not.
Well, yeah, if I don't find her cute. No, that girl particularly, I always said, no, she looks like a snake person. I don't like that. Yeah. She's got a long neck and too small of a head, so she's a snake person, and I feel like it's like an Evil Dead 2, that thing that comes out of the basement and tries to eat him. So I don't like it. Whereas, you know, maybe Alan Rickman, though, maybe that's his type. I'm not saying she's not an attractive woman.
She's attractive. It's just, if I were to have asked James, he would have been like,
Yeah, well, that's another thing you could say. You could go, no, she's not. No, it's not my type, blah, blah, blah. Or you can be like, I don't know, she's all right. But he was like, who, what now? She's a, I don't know. Meanwhile.
Mia? Who's Mia?
Who's Mia? She's parked outside of his office, wafting her vagina
at him. Kevin Costner. I don't even look at her. I just see her for the smart, young girl that she is.
She's just a smart young woman that I'd really like to see.
I've never paid attention to her looks.
Oh, yes. I guess she does have a sexuality about her. I never thought about it. It's very
Kevin Costner is the worst because I watched this interview. I think when I was watching the Whitney documentary about Whitney Houston Hulu, and they're talking about, like, they're interviewing Kevin Costner about it, and he says, he's like, everybody kept talking about that she was, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, but I didn't see her as a what did he say?
I just saw her as a
pretty and brilliant young woman, and I didn't. And I'm like.
Yeah, it was really like
shut up, Kevin Costner. Yeah. We get it. You're amazing.
You're very,
God, take me to your Oceanside fuck
you're,
bit.
You're quite magnanimous with your Oceanside fuck, Den. That's wonderful.
It's the Oceanside fuck
pit. I know, but it's.
Take me to your Oceanside fuck pit.
Please. Somebody needed to have that in this movie.
Maybe that can be the new Heaven's Gate. Like, that's the new cult.
Did anybody actually, like, hook up, like, well, I guess you, Grant, and what's her name, were hooking up at the end there.
So Alan Rickman is he's disgusting. We hate him.
We don't even know if they stay together. Do they stay together?
Well, because at the end of the movie, Emma Thompson seems very, like, she's like, hi. Like, a month earlier, they were fighting, and then, like, a month later, they're picking him up from Heathrow Airport, and then, like, glad you're here. Like, what's happening with you?
Yeah.
Well, give me, like, a freeze frame with, like, a title card like we do in Real Housewives of Potomac. Let me know.
Yeah, I'd like to see some Potomac-like action. Yeah. But, I mean, this movie could have been spiced up with some Real Housewives, but that's another story.
And then Colin Firth ends up, like, being on some... He's like, goes to some country house because he loses his mind after his girlfriend is cheating on him with his friend.
We think it's rural Portugal. That's what we've established.
So he goes somewhere and he goes in this country house and he's going to write a novel, I guess. I don't know what he's doing. And then he has some girl that helps him out. I think it's France.
Might be France.
And he has this girl that helps him out as a housekeeper, and she speaks Portuguese. So they don't talk. They don't even speak the same language, these two. So it's like, they're just trying to figure out how to communicate with each other. Yeah. So, of course, they fall in love, right?
Obviously, because the confusion of it all.
She's taking care of him, and...
I just have to talk about the book thing. The whole crux of their relationship was her jumping into the water to save his paper that flew off of his desk.
Yeah.
He's sitting out by a pond writing, and he's got this desk set up. It's so fucking windy, and he's got all this shit on his desk, and you can tell that, like... There's a whole, so he's got like 14 paperweights. He's got a cup and a rock and all this different shit. She brings him something, picks up a cup, and all of these papers go fly. I mean, like 150 pages fly into the wind, and he goes, oh, that's half the book. So, okay, it's half the book.
Do you want me to get a marshmallow ready?
My point is, I should get him locked and loaded. My point about this is, so let me get this straight. He went outside and wrote 150 pages that morning and had them all stacked up next to him as he wrote them. Or the logical and somehow even more illogical thing would be he took the 150 pages that he had already written from inside the house where they were nice and safe and dry and brought them outside into a windstorm to put them on his desk so they could sit in a windstorm next to a pond without having an extra copy.
Being held down by a mug.
Being held down by a mug when there's no extra copies. That's his fucking plan. That's what you're going to tell me. Blew the fucking papers into there and then she got her clothes off. And even though it's like thick sweater weather, she jumps into the pond and that's fine. And we're all going to believe that.
And it's freezing. Okay. What was my favorite line in that scene?
I don't know. Somebody committed suicide and we went, thank
fuck. No.
We don't have to deal with them anymore.
Okay, so she takes all of her clothes off. She does it so slow.
So
unbelievably slow.
Papers are sinking already. They're done.
Papers are sinking. They're ruined. Most of
it's over.
And she takes her hair out of a ponytail.
Oh, yeah.
Shakes it like we're in an Herbal Essence commercial.
Oh, it's...
And then she dives in like she like looks like she might as well have been in Baywatch where she's like Pam Anderson. What's going on out there?
Yeah.
And then dives in and tries to like swim around to find the papers. And it's like, hey,
yeah,
it's already a lost cause. And he said that. He's like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's okay.
It's rubbish anyway.
It's just my whole life.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's just everything I'm doing. Don't worry about it. Just decided to bring it out here into a windstorm because I like to live on the edge. I'm a fucking asshole.
Suffering my own consequences
Or he wrote it all that morning, so no problem. He can write a new 150 pages that afternoon and be
amazing.
Done by...
He's great.
Suntown. Fuck it.
So he... Okay. So, and then he decides to jump in. And I don't know why.
I don't know.
So she's already in the
he
water,
feels bad.
And
know.
She's like, "Oh, I hope that this is good because I hope that I'm not saving something." It's like, first of all, ma'am, nobody asked you.
Yeah, what's your
and
opinion?
Second of all, I specifically told you not to jump in there.
Yeah.
And then second of all, like it's paper.
Yeah, it's paper.
This
that
is
got
not.
Water.
This is not gonna recover.
Paper
I'm not
and
gonna
ink
see
don't
the
do well
ink.
In water.
Yeah,
usually.
So, and then also, like, we shouldn't have had this whole like Baywatch Herbal Essences commercial. If you were really concerned, you would just jump in with your dress on and get everything. But instead, you're
like,
she
had to be seductively.
Yeah,
because he's like, oh, I never noticed she was hot before.
Yeah, I didn't know how hot she was, and it's like, ugh, okay, we get it. She took the glasses off.
Like men don't try to...
Oh, you took your frumpy sweater off.
Like men don't try to tell what's under the frumpy sweater. That's the first thing you try to establish if you're some guy in a cottage with someone. You'd be like, what's under there? Jesus, what's the... Anytime she turned, you'd be like, okay, it hugged her body that way. That looked good on that side. And you start to put together like a 3D mental image of yourself. And by the time you've known her for 12 minutes, you know what she looks like naked. That's what a man's mind does.
That's sick.
It works like a computer.
That's
like a
sick.
Like a sick, disgusting porn computer. That's how our brains work.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
Now you know, ladies. That's and gentlemen, you're nodding your heads, and I'm sorry I told on us, but it came out.
Oh,
I'm sorry I let
the
back out.
You should have put
the
marshmallow in your mouth.
Well, that's what the marshmallows are for.
So anyway, Colin Firth, he drops her off somewhere. I don't know where, and he fucking like just in the middle of the road.
Yeah, that's fine.
He drops her off somewhere. She kisses him, and he just stands there.
Like a dildo.
Like a dildo.
Yeah.
I was like, sir, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Kiss
she
this
said,
broad.
I'm really sad that I'm leaving you. Like, I'm sad, and I'm going to miss you, and this is going to be whatever. And he's just standing in the street.
Yeah,
I'm like, Colin Firth, what are you doing?
Come on.
So so he just stands there, gets in a car accident.
No
that's
time
how stupid
for stoicism,
this guy is.
The line was
he said, try not to disturb the eels.
That's right.
That was a good line. Okay. Then
this movie sucks so bad.
The end of the movie is him taking, where he's learning another language and he learns Portuguese and then he goes to Portugal and then he finds. He stalks this woman. He goes to this person's parents' house and is like, hi, I'm going
to
marry your daughter in Portuguese.
Ask permission to marry your daughter.
And then this other daughter comes out. He's like, oh, no, not that one. Because she's a bigger daughter.
She's a big girl. And the father's like, no, here, yeah, marry her. Go ahead. And the daughter's like, I don't even know this guy. You're going to sell me to him? And the father's like, I'd pay him. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then Colin Firth's like, I met the other daughter. He's like, great, I'll take that one.
One of my daughters is going home with this very British man.
What do I have to do to put you in one of my daughters
this evening?
Today, you're driving off the lot in one of my daughters.
Hello.
What's happening?
Yeah, and then so apparently Aurelia is at work, and she goes. So they go to her work, and he does this whole speech in Portuguese. You know,
but the whole town follows. By the way,
yeah, the whole town follows, and this daughter, the eldest daughter, is like, Dad, I hope you're not going to say. She's very back and forth on Colin Firth.
Yeah, she hates him.
She's
she likes
like,
him. She
goes,
him.
Oh, they're gonna send him. They're gonna sell Aurelia to this man
into slavery. Yeah,
and then she's like, come on, like let's go. They're selling her into slavery to this English man.
Everyone's
and
like,
then
great.
Everybody's like, oh, okay. And then she's like, Dad, you have to say no to this. You have to say no to this. And the dad says, shut up, Miss Dunkin' Donut 2003.
Yeah, I was like, my God, Jesus Christ, it's like a seventh grade.
Papa!
Wow.
No good.
My
that
goodness.
Was, I was like, oh my God. And then another time,
girl.
The whole town is going, you know, to the restaurant. They're all walking to the restaurant and they fucking said, they're like, I heard that he's going to kill her. And this person goes, cool.
Yeah. It's like, what is going on in this town?
So he goes there and he professes his love for her and talking about evidentiary proof for...
He learned some really fancy language in another language.
I guess you want to show them that you're committed to it. It's like cheese stick
real,
on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, that was a real, like, he went hard.
He
though.
Threw down
yeah.
on Colombian.
He did.
It was good.
Yeah.
So he, so Colin Firth says, like, hi, how's it going? I want to marry you. And she's like, that would be nice. Like they asked her if they wanted more bread.
Yeah, that's what she said. She goes, that would be nice. Okay. And I was like,
do you want... Thank you. That would be nice.
Thank
you. Do you want some more bread at the table? Thank
that's
you.
That's exactly
that
how
nice.
She said. Yeah. Thank you. That'd be nice. Yeah. We'll take some more
I should
bread.
Have said that. I really messed up.
Another glass of wine. Yeah. Thank you. That'd be nice.
When you asked me to marry you, I really messed up.
You should have said thank you. That would be nice.
No, I just instead I said yeah.
You're like,
I probably also said it's about time.
Well, I think you were like, whatever, that's cool.
I don't think I said whatever.
Yeah, you were like, that's cool, whatever.
I was really mad at you that day because you were acting weird.
Yeah.
And every guy always acts weird. And I was like, if you're just going to act weird and you're going to act weird, then just tell me what's going on.
Yeah, you're,
I don't like surprises. Really,
yeah.
I don't like
Jesus
surprises.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, she had to harangue me into...
He made me a potato bouquet, okay? He put like chives. And it's very
it
sweet.
It had a... Yeah, it's not as dumb as it sounds.
No, so it
she
was like...
She had talked about this before.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And it was funny and it was awesome. And I was like, this is an effort. I was like, what's going on with this? He's up to something. And then you were like, I have to go to the store. I was like, cool, what store? I'll go with you. And you were like, no. And just being super weird. So I was really mad at you.
Yeah. All right. Well.
You should have just told me. Just told me. Be like, hey, stupid.
That's not how it works.
I had to go get you something.
Take a marshmallow and shut up. That's
no,
not how
I'm
it
not
works.
Shutting up.
That's not how it works. You
I didn't
just tell
say
them.
That I was going to do the marshmallow thing.
You don't just tell somebody, by the way, I'm going to propose later. That's not
so
how
now,
it works.
Let's get to
about 5, 6 o'clock. I don't know. Get ready.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's get to the last one, the most disturbing one, the Keira Knightley one. With the British Jason Priestley.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, fuck Alan Rickman.
Yeah. Whatever. I was so fucking mad at this guy.
This British Jason Priestley.
We're supposed to feel good about this too.
Yeah.
What is this?
So he is like acting all weird. Keira Knightley gets on the phone with him because she's trying to be like, hey, I saw that you were videoing my wedding. I want that footage. Because I want like a nice video of me in my wedding dress. Because the guy that I paid for sucked.
Yeah.
And... So he's like, oh, I don't even know if I have it. I'm like, okay, but like you do have it.
Yes, it just happened a week ago.
Like a couple weeks ago. So you absolutely have it.
So.
And he's like, oh, I probably taped over it. No, no, you didn't.
She thinks he hates her.
Yeah, so she,
he's
acting all weird
friend.
And she thinks that he hates her. And so she keeps trying to like kiss up to this guy to be like, you know, I know you're my husband's friend. And the husband, the Peter guy says to him, he's like, hey, my wife's going to get on the phone with you and like, be nice. And he's like, I am nice. Like, you know, what?
Yeah.
But he's acting like, I don't even like girls. Like, ew.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're in sixth grade and you got a girlfriend.
Yeah. You got a girlfriend.
You're not bringing her to the treehouse, man.
Yeah.
It's not happening. They're not allowed. No, dude, that's just for guys. It's just for us, man.
Girls only, man. Like, you know. Gross. So anyway, that's how the British Jason Priestley guy is acting. And then so Keira Knightley ends up going over there and bringing him like a pie thing. It must have been a meat pie or something.
Oh, yeah,
she's like,
know.
I brought this for you. And oh God, she sucks.
Yeah, she does suck.
She's always so forced with everything that she says.
Yeah,
and like she always sounds like she's reciting Jane Austen, like even if she's saying like, even if she's saying like,
I brought you a meat pie.
Yeah. I ate mac and cheese for lunch. Like
yeah,
she's just like, Mr. Darcy. Like she's nuts. She drives me nuts.
Yeah, she's not one of your favorites. You're always complaining when she's in something.
Ugh. Okay, so she enters and she's like, hey, like, let's look for the videotape because you're a fucking weirdo and I know you have it. And he's like, I don't have it anymore. So she goes, oh, what about that it says my name on it? And that this is the video from like a couple weeks ago. So she pops it in the TV.
And he's been using it as fucking jerking fuel over here.
Oh, my God. He was like, he had to have been like Crazy Joe Davola.
Yeah,
right?
It is stalker level weirdness.
Okay.
It's all close-ups of her face.
She put this video on. She's like, oh, perfect. It's me in my wedding dress. That's exactly what I wanted.
Great.
And then she's like, oh, cool. Even like some close-ups, that's great. And then she's like, okay, wow. So like, this is all me.
Yeah.
Like.
It's hard to keep a tight shot across a room on a tiny camcorder like that.
Yeah.
Like, he had to be, that was some camera work he put into
and
that.
And I was just like, okay, like, I'm calling the police?
Yeah, it was mad creepy.
Yeah. So
she's like cool with it though.
But she's like. Her takeaway from it is, I look very pretty.
Yes.
And I'm like...
Which was weird.
I look great. You look fucking insane. Do you see how many... This is all close-ups of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we didn't even ask to see, like... And then he left the apartment. The first thing I would do if I was Keira Knightley is I would look at all the pictures that were all, like, taped up back there. I'd be like, are these me?
Yeah. What the hell is going on? This is creepy shit. And then...
And then take the video, and that's your video, and then you show your friend, and you're like, this is the video that your friend
but
made
she doesn't, though, because she's like,
I look pretty.
Yeah, but then she's like, later on, she's like into this. It's weird.
Yeah.
She's like, it's really fucking creepy.
So that's the that's my least favorite scene. You always see this picture, and every girl always posts this picture, like the, to me, you're perfect, the note cards thing. So Jason, British Jason Priestley, fucking is like found out. He's basically like Dexter. He's like, oh, yeah, she found out I'm a serial killer. Like, oh my God. And like disappears.
This would have been normal if he was like a Ducky situation where,
yeah,
if he was her friend like for a long time, mm-hmm, and he was like, I never got to tell her, and then she was like, oh fuck, I feel bad, yep, I'm not in love with him, I'm in love with this guy, I got married, but he's a sweet guy, I've known him forever, and I'll, you know, this is like just an asshole,
yeah,
who wants to fuck his best friend's wife.
Uh-uh.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. So he rings the doorbell. Keira Knightley goes and answers the door. Which, I'm not saying anything about Peter, and I'm not saying anything about Keira Knightley, but I feel like if it's nighttime, you at least like would be standing around by the door to like, yeah, see
although
if anything.
England.
That's true.
We're thinking in a very American sense.
That's a good point.
In America, honestly, if it's nighttime and you're ringing, you're like, that could be like eight serial killers and, yeah, Frankenstein to try to, yeah, kill me. So it could be anything.
Are they trying to case the neighborhood?
I'm not, yeah, sure if in every country we feel like that.
That's, yeah, okay, you, yeah, perfect. Then
that
never
be,
mind.
Peter, that could literally be a monster with a machine gun standing, yeah, on my front porch.
Peter, yeah, and Keira Knightley are just nailing it.
I don't know, though. That's
so
just...
he's got these note cards, and the friend says, like the husband says, like, hey, who is it? And the first note card says, tell him it's Carol Singers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just some Carol Singers. And he's like, tell them, give him a quid and tell him to like fuck off,
tell him
basically.
To bugger off.
I was,
yeah,
like, oh my God.
And he doesn't move.
Hilarious.
He just sits there,
yeah,
watching TV.
So the Jason Priestley guy puts this song, you know, this Christmas song on, and he does this whole like,
he brings a boombox.
Brings a boombox, does this whole like note card situation, and explains like, sorry, I know that I come across as a dick. I'm actually a psycho, and I love you.
You thought I was a jerk, but I'm really someone you should be afraid of.
I'm actually
physically
terrifying.
Scared of. Yeah.
And, you know, like, I want to wear your skin.
Clearly, I've made these cards saying I don't have any expectations, but I just want to be a dick and tell you that I love you, even though you're married to my... What a scumbag. Yeah.
So he's like, you're perfect. I think you're wonderful. And I just have to live my life always, you know, loving you. And you are just going to be married to my friend. And like, you know, so I figured I would just tell you and make you feel bad.
I'd make
weird.
The situation even creepier.
Yeah. And make you even uncomfortable, because now what are you going to do? Go tell your husband?
Yeah.
Hey, weirdest thing. Jason Priestley was just downstairs and he had a whole, yeah, thing. Like, you, yeah, no.
So then she closed the door. He picks up his cue cards and his boombox and walks off. And
she
then
runs back out and kisses him.
She runs out and kisses him. And I'm like, what is happening?
No.
What the fuck? Poor civil rights guy over here has his best friend and his... What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, Peter was just sitting
disgusting.
Down to watch TV.
Jesus Christ. I'm very disturbed.
So anyway, Jason Priestley guy.
Let Keira Knightley hook up with Alan Rickman and they can be together.
So everybody is together.
The concert is the end.
The concert's
scene,
at finally. The end.
That's the big...
The, you know,
I
everybody
refuse to
did
talk
great.
About the kid at the airport.
The kid,
ugh.
The Sammy guy, you know, he gets a kiss on the cheek from the teenage girl that sings All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Tiny Liam Neeson gets Glitter to kiss him on the cheek.
And then, you know, Alan Rickman sees his kids and Emma Thompson at the airport. He doesn't deserve her at all.
No. But,
I mean, that's fine. I understand. They have kids together, so... You got to do what's right for you. But I mean, Emma Thompson, like, you're going to learn something in those Joni Mitchell songs.
You are. You're going to learn about pain because.
And about loving yourself.
Well, you know what? She's going to need it because I feel like there's a long road ahead of her.
Pave paradise.
It's all right. It's going to happen.
Put up a parking lot.
But I think she's got a lot. She does know everyone in the movie. So
yes,
that's going to help her
everyone.
A lot. She's got a lot of friends to help her through, including her prime minister brother.
Yeah. And so, you know, the Prime Minister, Hugh Grant, and Natalie, they kiss at the thing and they're just, you know, discovered. They wave. Everybody is, I think also Bilbo Baggins and that girl are engaged.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's got a ring.
The movie. Yeah. And somehow they know, no, they just know the guy who picks up his friend from the airport from his Wisconsin.
They know
Milwaukee.
A Wisconsin friend
yeah.
who comes back with, you know.
Yeah.
A woman with a cowboy hat on.
And brings Denise Richards, who is super aggressive.
For the friend who's like making out with his friend
at the
airport. And
she's like, they said you were gorgeous. I'm like, she starts kissing him. Gross.
Jesus Christ.
What's happening with you? But anyway.
But that's the apparently the fantasy of sexually aggressive hot American women.
I guess.
That's what I think is the... I think that's like a cliche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, James. Oh, God, we end the movie with a collage of Heathrow Airport.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Hugh Grant and Natalie being revealed kissing at the end of the child's concert. Yeah. That's it.
I said that.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Yeah.
So we end on a bunch of different, you know, video footage from actual people seeing each other at Heathrow, at London Heathrow Airport.
Luckily, they keep from making any more 9/11 references over the end of the movie. Helpfully.
That made me miss going to the airport, James. Did that make you miss going to the airport?
Yes, it made me miss going places, being places, and going generally.
If you could go to the airport right now, where would you go?
I would go, I think, to the Heigl-meter.
You would go to the Heigl-meter.
To the Heigl-meter.
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of one Heigl to five Heigls. Five Heigls being the most punishing.
Absolutely.
Worst movie you've ever seen in your life.
Yes.
Love, actually. Or one Heigl, which is not that bad.
Not that bad. You can sit through it.
Yeah. Okay, James, since it is Christmas, my gift to you is you can go first.
I can go first? Okay.
And just have a wide berth with it.
Okay, well, since Christmas is on the Jesus Christ, we're going to do this British style too. Since Christmas is on, since they do days and then months, we do months and then days and our dates. Over there, Christmas is on 25/12. Okay. December 25th. So I'm going to give this 2,512 Heigls.
Okay.
And that's approximately as many cast members that are in the movie as well.
Okay.
So it really evens out nicely. I was going to go higher. I was going to give it the entire population of the country of England because I feel like they tried to include everybody in the entire country in it. But then I decided, no, that's not fair. Let's stick with just the people who participated in the movie, which would be 2,512 of them.
Okay.
So 2,512 Heigls.
2,512.
I would say this movie is less preferable than beating your forehead in with a ball peen hammer.
Okay.
So there you go. What about you? How would you like to rate this for Christmas? What do you got here?
I am going to give this movie 3.73839 because that's five U.S. Heigls.
That's five. Oh, so that's the exchange rate. Very nice.
This is the exchange rate.
Very nice.
I have no feeling about it. I hated it. The one thing is, so like in Must Love Dogs, I got curious about things, so I wanted to start Googling them. I could never go down that journey with this movie because this movie really did make you focus on how much you don't like it.
I will say this about this movie. The pacing of it
for
a 2-hour and 10-minute movie, because all the scenes, because there's so many fucking people in it, you can't have more than a 2-minute long scene or else you'll forget the other characters. And when they cut to them, you'll be like, what's going on with them again?
Yeah.
It's like a reality show.
Yes, exactly.
90 Day Fiance. They have to keep going to the different people so you don't forget.
Yeah.
So that I will give it. And it's
not lulled.
It could have been worse. There was no like 9-minute scenes of people staring at each other and having boring shit like
Twilight
or anything.
Sometimes there was just like a 30-second scene of just, you know, Hugh Grant sitting there reading a card.
It was a super cut. That's what I mean. There was no plot to it, no anything. They cut out all the storyline, the plot, and just made it, here's romance. Bang, bang, bang.
Worst
take it.
Movie ever.
Fuck your mothers, everybody. There you go. Take that. That's what they tried to do to us. Thanks a lot.
Do you know whose mothers we shouldn't fuck?
Who?
I have our Patreon.
Oh, I don't want to fuck their mothers. Yes, absolutely. Your mothers should stay unfucked unless they want to be fucked. But otherwise, they should stay unfucked and in a pristine condition.
Yeah.
Please, who are these wonderful people?
So, yes, thank you guys all so much for hanging out with us. Thank you. I hope you guys had nice holidays.
Absolutely.
Again, we are on Patreon. Patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. I'm trying to just be quick and like blow through this stuff because I know you guys don't give a shit. You guys just want to hear Love Actually. So
yeah, whatever.
Hang out with us on bonus episodes. We play games. We have fun. We talk shit.
They're funny.
Yeah.
Variety.
We like to talk about, we like to watch bad TV shows and we like to talk about them. And we always have so much fun doing that. And
absolutely,
it is a good time to watch TV with us.
You
and,
should.
Oh, by the
you
way, Twitter says that we have to do a watch along for one of the Twilight movies.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
It'll be the last one.
Oh,
it'll be the last one. Because you know what? It's the last one. And it's the funniest one.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I can't
so anyway, yes. And thank you guys so much. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHeigeld, YouGotHeigeld.
Yes. Apple Podcasts. The reviews help a lot. Thank you for that very much.
Anyway, I want to get to making this about you guys because you guys are so awesome.
Tell me
and
the
we
good
appreciate
people.
You guys hanging out with us.
Tell me the good people. And none of these people, remarkably, were in Love Actually that we're going to name, I don't think.
We don't know.
Which is.
They might have been. We didn't look at the
that's
credits.
That's true. So many people, I think about it, 83% of the world was in this movie, so some of these people might have.
Nastasia Markin.
Thank you.
Sonia Montgomery.
Thank you, thank you.
Kelsey Headland. Dana Fluck. That might be my favorite last name.
That's a good last name.
That's my favorite last name.
It
if
is.
If I didn't have to, if I could have a last name, it would be Fluck. Okay.
Pretty good.
Casey Holleran, Valerie Callahan, Stephanie Paul, Chris Schenning, Morgan Ferguson, Hannah McDonald, Caroline C., Rebecca Kloster, Bree Renew, Morgan Eberly, Elsie Hutchings, Lindsay K. Trotter. Ooh, that sounds very...
That's a cool name, too. Like
that looks good on stationery.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good letterhead name. It's very good.
Lindsay K. Trotter.
Good business card name.
Mm-hmm. Esquire. Tony Foster, Ryan Lucier, Tasha Watson, Brian Carkay, ooh, yeehaw, Brendan, no last name, and John Karpesh.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
You guys are really amazing, everybody. On thank you for supporting us.
Thank
really
you for supporting
it.
Us. Thank you for watching these bad movies with us.
Yeah.
We really do enjoy it. Tell me your embarrassing, like, weird crush people that you have that you don't understand why you have it, like... I don't want to out my cousin like this, but she told me that she has a crush on Pete Davidson, and I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, that's not a good
you
one.
You don't want to shame people for like what they find attractive, but you're like,
unless it's Pete Davidson, then you got to go, come on.
Then it's,
fuck are we talking
we
about here?
Talk about this with you, Aaron Elizabeth.
That's another story.
Yeah, I got to get my cousin Aaron set up with Hunter Fieri. I'm going to get that happening. I'm going to get that cracking. Okay.
Let's get out of here and go do that.
But yeah, so anyway, reach out to us at Sarah H is Funny on Twitter or Instagram.
Yes.
At Jimmy P is Funny on Twitter
whatever,
for James.
Like, yeah, do it.
Who gives a shit about us, really? Thank you guys so much for hanging out. And fuck Love Actually.
Fuck Love Actually. And more importantly, though, go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.